Well, again, it's wonderful to be with you this morning. So glad for the worship committee, the session to invite me and to have me fill the pulpit. Glad to do that. It's been really fun to so far move around the presbytery a little bit and get to see some of the different churches and meet different folks. So thank you for having me. This morning we are going to be looking at Psalm 121. If you have a Bible, I'm sure it'll be in there and maybe up on the screen as well. I'm not sure. But we are going to be looking at this psalm, a favorite of mine, a psalm which details for us the help that God provides for his people. And so this is God's word. It is given to us in love. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's go to God this morning and ask him for his help. Lord, just as the psalmist looked up to the hills wondering where their help was going to come from, we look to you this morning for help. We look to you to help us as we read your word. Help us to read it rightly. Help us to understand it rightly. We pray, O Lord, that you would speak as you promised to do. You would speak to us from your word, that you would open our eyes and open our hearts to receive the eternal truths and message that you have for us here, that you would write these eternal truths on our hearts, that you would show us the Lord Jesus, and that we would be changed by gazing upon him this morning. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. So, as mentioned, we just moved here last summer. So last winter, a little over a year ago, we were still living in Cookeville, Tennessee. And we were up on the Cumberland Plateau. We were kind of on the edge of the Cumberland Plateau, and we had a big snowstorm for our area. We had for Tennessee, this was pretty big. We had 4 or 5 inches of snow that came down just within several hours. And I was trying unsuccessfully. We had kind of a two driveways. We had sort of a little half circle in the front, and then sort of a steeper back driveway that connects to our garage. And I was trying to get our minivan out of the back driveway to go run an errand. And I got to the very, very close to the top of the driveway, but I had a little bit of a problem. The tires on our van at the time were a little bald. I've since replaced them, okay? The front tires were a little bald, not getting a lot of traction, not really doing what they needed to do. So I was struggling to get out of our driveway and to get onto the road. I was making no progress, and I had been there for 5 or 10 minutes. And a man pulls up on the street, and he's in a big truck with huge tires, and he's got all the equipment to be someone who could help me. And he rolls his window down, and he says, "Excuse me, do you need some help?" And I, of course I said, "Oh, no, I don't need any help. I'm fine. No, sir, don't worry about me. I've got it. It's all good here." So he said, "Okay," and he rolled his window up, and he went on his way. But, friend, the truth is I did need his help. I needed his help a lot. And I had no idea how I was going to get my van out of that driveway. And the embarrassing truth is that that van sat in the driveway until the snow melted about 4 days later. I suppose it's been good we've had a mild Pittsburgh winter, because I'm not sure if I'm cut out for these difficult winters. But why is it that we do that? Why do we do that? When we need help and there's help available to us, sometimes we refuse it. Sometimes we say no to it. Even when it's offered to us. I mean, I think part of the reason is needing help often makes us feel kind of exposed, doesn't it? Well, it makes us feel perhaps a little bit weak, a little bit incompetent. I didn't want to admit that I didn't know how to get my van out of the driveway to the stranger. It makes us feel vulnerable. It makes us feel like a burden to others, perhaps. And so we spend time and energy trying not to feel any of those things. We even will go to the point of refusing help when it's offered to us, and we will also not ask for help when we desperately need it. Part of what I love about Psalm 121 is it begins with this assumption that you and I are going to need help, right? Verse 1, it's built right there. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? The question is not, am I going to find myself in a situation where I need help? That is a given, right? The only question is, when I need help, in this moment as I need help, where is my help going to come from? And Psalms 121, as you see, is titled one of the Songs of Ascent. This is a set of psalms that it's believed by many scholars and pastors. It's believed that the Israelites would sing. This is Psalm. This goes from Psalm 120 to 134. Those are the songs of ascent. It's believed that as multiple times a year, as the Israelites would make their way to Jerusalem for various religious festivals, that they would sing these songs as they walked along the road. These songs became part of that journey. And if you think about that, if you think about, you know, you're an Israelite living in the ancient world and you're traveling to Jerusalem to go and participate in these religious festivals a few times a year, there could be a number of reasons that you might need help along the road. Perhaps there were robbers lying in wait, perhaps wild animals, perhaps harsh weather, perhaps injuries could be sustained along the road. And so there was a need for them. They were probably thinking often about what might happen and the help that we might need as we make this journey. In a similar way, if you are a follower of Jesus this morning, if you are in Christ, then you are also on a pilgrimage. You are on a journey not to the Jerusalem that exists in the Middle East, but the New Jerusalem. Our journey, we are on a journey towards heaven, towards our heavenly home, towards the New Jerusalem, and through this life, and we are going to need help. And we should live with that certainty that we are going to need help. And so maybe this morning, I don't know your story or where you find yourself this morning as you're gathered here, but maybe you need help in your marriage as you're struggling to understand and communicate with your spouse. Maybe you need help this morning as you're raising children and you feel at times frustrated and exhausted, and maybe you feel guilt that you're so frustrated with your kids. Perhaps you're grieved over children that you have, older children who are walking away from the Christian faith. Or maybe you need help this morning as you face infertility. Maybe you need help this morning as you struggle in a job that you hate, in a job that you're dreading to go back to tomorrow. Maybe you're facing mounting financial pressures. Maybe you're mourning the loss of a loved one. Maybe you're dealing with the chronic pain or with a difficult diagnosis from a doctor. Maybe you are struggling and wrestling with anxiety or depression or addiction or struggling with a sin in your life. Maybe you're wrestling with doubt this morning. I don't know your exact circumstances, but whatever they may be, whether it's some of those things I mentioned or things I didn't mention, whatever your circumstances may be this morning, the question that this psalm raises for us is, where is your help going to come from today, right now? In those situations, where is your help going to come from? And the answer this psalm provides for us is that our help comes from God, from the Lord, from the creator of heaven and earth, our creator and our redeemer. So two things I want us to see this morning as we look at this passage, and as two reasons why we can look to God to be our help. The first reason is that he watches over us. And the second reason is that he keeps us. Those are our two points today. He watches over us and he keeps us. So first, God watches over us. Last fall, Netflix released a new show called The Watcher. I haven't seen the show, so this is not an endorsement or a comment on the show whatsoever. But the show, the reason I knew about it is because it's loosely based on a true story that I'd read an article about the story years ago. But it's about a family who moved into a mansion in New Jersey, and immediately they began to receive very creepy letters when they moved into this house. And there was an anonymous person who claimed to be watching the family, and this individual would send letters to their home, and the letters would start to reveal more and more details about the family. Like the letter would reveal like the children's names. The letter would reveal their schedules and their routines. And these creepy letters were always signed by the Watcher. And it sort of ruined, you can read about this online, it sort of ruined this family's life. And they, They fled the house in fear, as you can imagine. They didn't want to be there, didn't want to live there, and just felt like so uncomfortable that they were being watched. No, the police never found out. This is still sort of an unsolved thing. They never knew who was sending these letters. The family had a hard time selling the house, and it really just upended their lives in a number of ways. And I think we get that. It sounds incredibly creepy, doesn't it? We don't like the idea of someone watching us. That's an uncomfortable feeling. And yet, in this psalm, we are told that God is watching us, and it's meant to be a comfort. It's meant to be an encouragement to us. Why is that? Well, because God's watching over us is not malicious. It's not nefarious. God's watching over us is motivated by his love for us. I mean, this is the difference between a stranger who's watching you when you're not aware of it across the street or something, and a parent who's watching their child play on a playground, or a parent who creeps into the nursery at night and watches their child, their baby, as they sleep. Because that's a watch, that's a look of love, a look of concern, a look that feels protective and feels warm and loving. And so notice throughout the Psalm 121, that because God is watching us, he's aware of what's going on in our lives. He is near to us and he's involved, right? Just as the psalmist writes, he will not let your foot be moved, and he will be your shade on your right hand. He is near to you. He is right there at your right hand. And it's so beautiful I love how the psalmist drives this point home by telling us three times in these short verses, three times we are told that the Lord does not sleep or slumber. And this might sound like sort of a weird thing for the psalmist to tell us, like, hey, just so you know, God doesn't sleep or slumber. And yet, if we think about it for a minute, there's a lot of comfort in that. It's always amazed me how the psalms connect God's protection of us with our sleep. And so you hear this in Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Or in Psalm 127, verse 2, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. These verses are such a comfort to those of us who have spent a sleepless night, staring at the ceiling, churning with worry and fear. But one way we know that God loves us is that he gives us sleep, is that he promises he will keep watch for us all the time. As verse 6 tells us, he will keep watch over us during the day and during the night. As verse 8 tells us, he will keep us in our going out and in our coming in. This is a common feature in Old Testament poetry to mention two sort of opposite, contrary things. And the purpose there is to show us that God is watching over us in the day and in the night, but also all the time in between. He's watching over us in our going out and our coming in, and all the time that's in between. All the time, whatever you're doing, God is watching over you. The psalm has in view the totality of life, the totality of the human experience, every aspect of our lives. Whenever we need help, God is available. He is ready. He is there. And this reminds us, this beautiful promise that God does not sleep or slumber reminds us that God is never off the clock. Right? That God is never unaware of what you're experiencing. Whether it's the dead of night, you're sleeping peacefully, or you're anxiously tossing and turning because of various stresses and anxieties in your life, God is awake. And he is with you. And he sees you. He is watching and keeping you. And this is a helpful reminder for us, because I believe, if we're honest this morning, at times, It doesn't feel like God is with us. It doesn't feel sometimes like he's awake. Sometimes it feels like God's asleep, doesn't it? Sometimes it feels like God's unaware of what is happening to you in your life as you struggle and suffer. It can feel like he's quite distant from us sometimes in our pain and in our struggles. But the psalmist reminds us that this is not the case. That God doesn't sleep. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He doesn't need to, which means he's always attentive to your needs and to mine. He's always there. And so if the Lord doesn't sleep, that means that you and I can sleep. That we can go to bed at night knowing that God is watching over us, that he's caring for us. We can rest because God is watching us over by day and by night. There's a Christian writer named Tish Harrison Warren, and she wrote a book titled Prayer in the Night, and it's a book that I really enjoyed, and in that book, she describes a very difficult season in her life, actually a season in which she and her family moved to Pittsburgh about 5 or 6 years ago, perhaps, and she, shortly after, just a few days after moving, her father back in Texas passed away very suddenly, unexpectedly, and that kind of rocked her world, and then she experienced two fairly traumatic miscarriages in her first year of being in Pittsburgh. And she wrote about just like how, you can imagine these things affected her very deeply, but she wrote about in her book about how nighttime in particular was very difficult for her. And so I want to read to you a quote from this book. She says, "At night I feel alone. Even in a house full of sleeping bodies, I feel small and mortal. The darkness of nighttime amplifies grief and anxiety. I'm reminded with the setting of the sun that our days are numbered and full of big and little losses. We are so very, very vulnerable." And what Tish Harrison Warren did is she found help in the Lord by remembering that God doesn't sleep and by praying this prayer called Compline. And this is like an evening prayer, a before bedtime prayer that's from the Book of Common Prayer. And she says that this prayer for her became a lifeline in that dark season. And here's how that prayer goes. It goes this way. This is the prayer she would pray so often during this really difficult season of life. It's this: "Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night. And give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying. Soothe the suffering. Pity the afflicted. Shield the joyous. And all for your love's sake. Amen." And that's exactly what Psalm 121 is getting at. That the God who neither slumbers nor sleeps will keep watch over us. Even in the dead of night, he will tend the sick, and he will give rest to the weary, and he will bless the dying, and he will soothe the suffering, and he will pity the afflicted, and he will shield the joyous, and he will watch over us, and he does it all because he loves us. The Lord watches over us. Our second point this morning is that the Lord keeps us. He watches over us and he keeps us. When you read through the 8 verses of Psalm 121, there's one word that is repeated 6 times, and it's the word keep or keeper. And so we just scanning through the passage, it says, "He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. He will keep your going out and your coming in." This is the same Hebrew word used all throughout this in all 8 times. And it's a word that means to guard or to preserve. It's also the same word that's used way back in Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. In that verse, when Cain murders his brother Abel. And God approaches Cain. Maybe this is one of those phrases that sort of entered into our vernacular, common vernacular, even outside the church. People know this phrase. When God goes to Cain and he says, "Where is your brother?" And Cain says, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I Abel's keeper?" And what Cain is saying there is, am I my brother's guardian? Am I the one who's supposed to preserve him? Is he my responsibility? Is it my job to watch over Abel and to take care of Abel? And what Cain is doing in this question, am I my brother's keeper? He's trying to distance himself from Abel. He's trying to distance himself from the obligation that he owes to his brother for his well-being. But here in Psalm 121, we're told the exact opposite. We're told that God is for his people, that he is our keeper, that he is our guardian. We're told 8 times, he is our guardian. He is the one who watches over us and takes care of us and preserves us and protects us. that he takes responsibility for us. And from these verses, it's clear God is happy and willing to be your keeper and mine. A little over 2 years ago, the fall of 2020, our family, like many families, we got a COVID dog. We got a sheep-a-doodle, a 50-pound sheep-a-doodle named Jorby. And he's a little over 2 years old now. And I'll admit that, like many parents, I was a little reluctant to get this dog. And because I'm thinking, you know, we had a few dogs before that. We had a dog pass away a few months before this. And I was feeling the grief of that still. And I'm thinking, as we're contemplating getting this dog, I'm like, we're going to have to take care of this animal. We're going to have to take him to the vet. You know, we're going to have to, like, kennel him whenever we travel. Like, there's all these expenses that I'm starting to think about. They're going to pay this vet a ton of money. And, you know, this dog's going to live for, you know, 10 to 15 years. And then he's going to pass away, and I'm going to be emotionally shattered when he's gone. You know, I'm thinking about all the things that's going to happen. This feels like a really big commitment. And what I was really wrestling with as we were contemplating getting this dog, which we did get, is here's the question that I was really wrestling with. Do I want to be this dog's keeper? Am I willing to take on all the obligations and all the responsibilities and expenses which come with being this dog's keeper? And at the time, I was like, I don't really know. but the family outvoted me, so we got the dog. But here's what, and he's a joy most of the time. Here's what Psalm 121 is saying to us this morning. That God, without hesitation, without reluctance, says yes to being your keeper. And if we're honest, our lives are much messier than the lives of any pet. And yet God says, I want to be your keeper. We know that our problems are more complicated and our needs are far greater than that of any household animal. And God says, I will be your keeper forever. And when it comes to a family dog, we parents know that as time goes on, the kids are going to get a little bored of the animal, right? The animal's going to become a chore. Hey, who's walked the dog today? Who's fed the dog today? It becomes a chore, and the kids may get bored with that. But Psalm 121 is saying that you will never become a chore to God. That he will never be bored with you. He will never be bored with watching over you and taking care of you. He will never be bored with whatever problems or struggles that you're experiencing that you bring to him. He's your keeper. And how long is his commitment to be our keeper? Verse 8 tells us, from this time forth and forevermore. From now until forever, he will be your keeper. And God says, I will not slumber and I will not sleep. And I will be your keeper around the clock forever. This is a sweet reminder to that exhausted parent who feels like their entire life right now is spent taking care of little kids. And they're wondering, who's going to take care of me? And Psalm 121 says, Jesus will take care of you. And this is a good news for those of you who are mourning. For those of you who are wrestling with mental health issues or physical issues or marital problems or sin struggles, that the Lord, even in the midst of whatever you're facing now, the Lord is your keeper. That he will guard and preserve you. And this is good news for those of you who may be caring for an aging parent. Those of you who are perhaps in a helping profession, those of you who maybe you're that friend that everyone brings their problems to, but you don't really feel like you have anyone to share your burdens with. And maybe sometimes you wonder, who's going to help me? Who's going to be my keeper? And Psalm 121 says, Jesus will. Ultimately, what Psalm 121 offers us is comfort and calm and peace in the midst of life's difficult journey. And as comforting as it can be, this psalm can also raise some questions, right? If God is my keeper all the time, then why do I suffer? Then why did he allow that terrible thing to happen to me? The Lord, this creates some tension, right? I mean, we even see it in verse 7. If you look at verse 7 of our passage, it says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. And maybe even this morning, as I've been talking, some of you have been thinking, I certainly feel like I've experienced some evil. What does it mean that the Lord will keep me from all evil? I feel like I've some evil things have happened to me. Well, the Bible is not saying that nothing bad will ever happen to us, right? Bad things certainly will happen. We live in a fallen world. You're going to experience flat tires and sickness and loss of a job and cancer and death and broken relationships and financial troubles and natural disasters. Jesus never promises that our lives are going to be free from those things. But because God is watching and keeping you, evil will never have the final word in your life and in your story. Whatever evil has come upon you, it doesn't have to define you. If you are in Christ, there is no evil that has come into your life that can separate you from His love. There is no evil that has come upon you that God in His goodness and in His grace and in His providence can turn to good. The truest thing about you is not the evil thing that has happened to you. The truest thing about you, if you are in Christ, is that you are a child of God, that you are the beloved of Jesus. Our New Testament reading this morning came from Romans chapter 8, and I feel like it's such a perfect fit with this psalm and with what we're talking about this morning. I just want to read verses 38 and 39 to you again. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Evil things will certainly happen in your life and in my life. You can ask to share some more, and you can ask probably anyone in this room about that. But none of it can separate you from the love of Jesus. And that's what it means for the Lord to be your keeper. And all of our questions and all of our heartaches about suffering and evil will always lead us back to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus' death on the cross is the most evil, the most unjust act that ever happened, right? A truly innocent God-man suffering and dying and being tortured in the place of sinners like us. And yet, it's Jesus' suffering, it's His death, which purchases salvation for us, which purchases forgiveness for us, which makes us new creations in Him. And all of the promises of the Bible, including the promises of 121, Psalm 121, all of the promises of the Bible find their yes in the Lord Jesus. They are guaranteed to us by His work, by His death, by His resurrection. They are guaranteed because of what Jesus has done for us. Psalm 121 is calling us to meditate on the goodness and the protection and preservation that can only be found in life with Jesus. The triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, is the one who watches over us and preserves us from this time forth and forevermore. And this psalm is preparing us for the journey of life ahead, the journey of life that if you are a Christian, that you are on this morning, the journey towards the New Jerusalem, the journey towards your heavenly home. We are pilgrims. This world, we are strangers in a strange land. This world is not our home, but we are heading on a journey towards our heavenly home. And this psalm is a reminder to us, is preparing us for that journey, a journey on which we will see many beautiful things and many hard things, many difficult things. But this psalm promises us that evil will not have the final word in your story, that one day evil will be no more. Evil will be done away with, and every tear will be wiped away from your eye. We will delight forever in the mercy and the love and the grace of our keeper. So I don't know where you are exactly in your life this morning. I don't know what you're facing and what your need might be, but I do know this, that you need help. And that I need help. I don't know what anxious thoughts are keeping you awake at night. I don't know what fears are creeping at the edges of your heart. I don't know all the painful and sorrowful wounds that from your past that you carry with you each day. But Jesus does. And this morning, Jesus invites us into life with Him. Whether you don't know Jesus this morning or whether you've been walking with Him for decades, Jesus invites us into life with Him this morning, into a life of faith and a life of joy, a life of love, a life of abundance, and Jesus promises to watch over you and to keep you. Brothers and sisters, lift up your eyes. From where does your help come? Your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the Lord who is your keeper from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for Psalm 121. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you watch over us. We thank you that you don't slumber or sleep so that we can. We thank you, Lord, that you keep us in our going out and our coming in, that whatever evils we may face, whatever hardships we may endure, whatever difficulties we encounter, that you are there with us at our right hand, that you are keeping us. Lord, I pray that you would, whatever the difficulties or struggles that folks have brought into the room within this morning, I pray that you would remind us that you are watching over us, that you are keeping us, that nothing can separate us from you, from the love of Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that we would find great hope and comfort and encouragement in this. I pray for those this morning who are here who maybe don't know the Lord Jesus. I pray that you would awaken faith in their lives. Bring them to yourself this morning, O Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.